secular and spiritual. But I think sometimes we miss some of the truths that are contained in those songs. I have got a PowerPoint for this service, for the sermon. So Jeff may or may not at various points pop it up. So if I disappear, please just let me, don't worry, I'm not in control of that. Jeff is, and I'll leave him to be control and do that. But
when you say in control, Stuart.
Well, yeah, I know it's a bit loose words. So Band Aid, 1984. Did you hear those words? Did you recognise what they said, what the words were there? It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade. 1984, sung by Paul Young. And Fiona was there at Live Aid in 1985. I was doing someone's garden in 1985, listening to it in the garden as we were doing some gardening work for a lady in a church. It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. It's Christmas time. We banish shade. We let in light. We banish shade. Those words, do not be afraid, are the most common words that are used in the Christmas story. They appear four times. And in each case, they refer to something different and they give us something different to reflect on. So I'm just going to look at those four things with us this morning. And then we'll reflect on what that means for us today. So the first one comes from Zechariah. In the story of Zechariah in Luke chapter 1. The angel appears to Zechariah. Zechariah has gone into the temple. He's been nominated as the high priest, the priest that each year is able to go into the temple, the one time of the year when one person could go in. He would have gone in by himself. And so even to have someone else speak to him in the temple would have been a bit of a shock to the system, to be fair, because he wasn't expecting anyone else to be in there. And so he goes into the temple to do his duty, to behave, to serve the people. And the angel speaks to him and says, do not be afraid. He says, your prayer has been heard. I wonder how many times we pray and we wonder where our prayers are going. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were childless. They had been prayed for years for a child and nothing had happened. Elizabeth hadn't fallen pregnant. The angel comes to Zechariah and says, do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Every prayer that you pray is heard. Notice the angel didn't say to Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. He says, your prayer has been heard. The answer followed, but at this point in time, Zechariah was reassured that his prayers had been heard. Every prayer that you pray, even if you don't feel you're getting answers, every prayer that you pray, every word of prayer that you utter, every cry for help that you offer to God is heard. Nothing misses him. Nothing escapes God. He hears every prayer. And as we're reminded in the book of Revelation, our prayers matter to God. They are as incense in heaven. That's how much God values our prayers. Our prayers have been heard. It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. The second occasion where we come across those words is in the story of the angel appearing to Mary in Luke chapter 1. Do not be afraid, in verse 30. You have found favor with God. Different statement. Here was a young virgin woman married or pledged to be married to Joseph, and an angel turns up at the house, and no wonder she was a little bit troubled. Not what you're expecting on any normal day in Galilee. But God has a special role for her, and she needs to know that this is no accident, that she hasn't just stumbled across something, that God has chosen her for this very significant role. God has planned this from the beginning of time. This is no accident. As this young lady who's about to experience quite a significant change in her life, she needs to know God has a plan for her. She has been chosen by God. And the angel comes to her and says to her, Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. God values you. God loves you. God has chosen you. You are precious to him. And God loves each and every one of us. We may not feel like it. We may feel insignificant. We may feel as if, you know, we've got nothing to contribute, nothing to offer. We're just nobodies in the world's eyes. And yet God says to you this morning, he loves you. He loves you that much that he sent his own son to die for you. He didn't want heaven without you. And so he sent Jesus to this earth because he wanted you to be with him in heaven forever. You have found favor with God. Do not be afraid. The third occasion is in the story of Joseph, Matthew chapter 1. And in verse 20, the angel has been busy at this point, has to come and say to Joseph, do not be afraid. What to do? Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God asks us to do something that is totally unrealistic. It humanly doesn't make any sense to us, and it's completely out of our comfort zones. And that was Joseph's experience. A bit like marrying, you know, he was being asked here to marry his fiancée, who is pregnant, not with your child. And not even that, you haven't even slept with your wife or your fiancée. So how on earth can it be, you know, yours? And it's not even that, it's not even another man. It's God, the Holy Spirit, that has conceived in her something that has become this child. This young babe, this fetus, was conceived by the Spirit of God in Mary. And God says to Joseph, take her as your wife. Carry on down this path. That would have been a bit of a challenge in our context, in our society today, let alone in the context in which these two young people were living. No wonder he needs reassuring that he doesn't need to be afraid, that God has it all in control, that it is going to work out, that God has a plan for them. All God asks of Joseph is that he is obedient. We've just sung, teach us, Lord, full obedience. And that's what Joseph had to learn. All God wanted of Joseph was for him to obey and to do as he'd been asked. You know, sometimes in our lives we're faced with choices that don't seem to make a lot of sense, whether that's for us individually or as families or as churches. Sometimes what is set before us and the challenges that are set before us don't seem to make sense. It doesn't make any sense at all for Barmore Baptist Church to build a new church or to plant a new congregation. But that seems to be the path that God is taking us on. It didn't make any sense in some ways to do what we did 18 years ago. And yet God has taken on this journey. It doesn't make any sense back in the 40s for somebody perhaps to plant Barmer. There are times in our lives and in our ministries where God asks us to step out of our comfort zones and just to be fully obedient. And he takes care of the rest. And in the context of that, whatever that looks like for you in your lives, God says to us, do not be afraid. Just obey me. Just trust me. Do not be afraid. The final occurrence of that phrase, do not be afraid, comes in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. In that context, we find these shepherds sitting on a field, out in the fields, looking after the sheep, and the angel appears again and says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. You're in the field doing your job, minding your own business, discussing the latest news from the town, talking about what's happening in the world around Nazareth, Bethlehem, and a bit of friendly banter with your mates, perhaps a bit of teasing, and suddenly the sky lights up and an angel appears and starts talking to you. Do not be afraid. It's probably one of the things you do need to hear at that moment in time. But what a message that was given to those shepherds that night. Who would not want to hear that God had come? Who would not want to hear that Jesus has sent his only, Jesus had come, God has sent his own son Jesus to this earth? Who would not want to hear that the one that was born in Bethlehem in a stable was none other than the Son of God? And what a message that is to be given. What a message of hope that is. You know, and for us, we have that same message. We have been given that same message. We have been entrusted with that same truth, that same hope. this message that we have is good news of great joy for all people. And sometimes we hear that and we reflect on that. And one of the things that I was just watching yesterday, Curtis, that's our second, has recorded an Advent message for this coming week. And one of the things he was talking about there is the fact that sometimes for him during lockdown has taken his focus away from the fact and this truth that Jesus came to this earth to die for us. God loves us that much. And the Advent story reminds us just how precious we are to God. Despite all that's happening in around us in this world, despite all the uncertainties and the fears that we have, God loves us that much. And that message of hope we have, that message of joy that we have, is a message which is for all peoples, for all time. And that's now. And we have been entrusted with that message. And the challenge for us is how we communicate that message, how we share that message with those around us. And we have to take that and apply that in different contexts. We did earlier this year, as lockdown started, we as a church were working through the Frontline Sunday series produced by the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, which calls us to be frontline disciples, calls us to be disciples of Jesus, fruit-making disciples, disciple-making disciples, to use that expression, disciples who make disciples out on our front lines. And that's not in church for many of us. Many of us will spend perhaps 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe if we're really, really busy in church, 10 hours a week, unless you're employed by the church, of course, in church. That leaves 158 hours outside of church. So what are you doing those times? Where are you serving God? How are you making this message, this good news, known to those around you? Because this good news is joy for all people. The shepherds were told, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. This message that you have is good news. So how do we apply this to us, our lives? God listens to us. We're cherished by him. We can trust him and be obedient to it, even when humanly speaking, it makes absolutely no sense. And he's entrusted this great message of salvation, which is a message of joy for our world, for all peoples. And God says to us, do not be afraid. One of the things I've noticed over the year, is this year particularly, is how much fear has gripped many people. We have people coming into the food hub who, frankly, are fearful of going to a supermarket. They'd much rather come here and get some food from us here than they would face a supermarket. These are people who normally would be quite happy getting onto an aeroplane and flying around the world or travelling on public transport. But this infection, this pandemic has gripped them with fear. How do we counter that? How do we respond to that? Well, we have one who is in control. We have one who is sovereign, who says to us, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Christmas is a time when we don't need to be afraid. We let in light and we banish shade. That's God's story, isn't it, of Christmas? The light has come. Our prayer has been heard, so God listens to us. Let's not forget that. And if you feel like God is not answering your prayers, God is still hearing you. God is still listening to you. You are not speaking to someone who's turned deaf all of a sudden. He's heard every prayer that you've prayed, and those prayers matter. So keep praying, keep pursuing prayer, keep carrying on with it, keep sticking with it. In Luke chapter 1, I'm going to ask Jeff to put these words up. This is the Magnificat. This is the story of Mary. This is how Mary responds. I'll read these words. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Verse 50 there. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. That reference there to fear is a different reference to what we have seen earlier. That reference to fear there is a reference to us responding to God in reverence, in worship, and in awe. And our response to the God who comes, the God who speaks, should be one of worship, one of surrender to him. When we recognize who God is, when we recognize what God has done for us, we're reminded again of John's words in 1 John chapter 4, perfect love drives out fear. I hope and pray that you are not gripped with fear. I hope and pray that you hear those words that speak into your context. I don't know what that is, only you know, and God knows what that is. Perhaps one or two others may know, perhaps around you. But I pray that you are not gripped with fear, that you are free to be the person that God wants you to be, that you receive that perfect love in your life that drives out that fear. It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid, not because Paul Young sang it back in 1984, but because Jesus Christ came. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this amazing message of hope, of joy, of life, of love. Father, thank you that you see each of every one of us. You know our experiences. You know those of us who are perhaps struggling with some level of fear in our lives. You know those of us who perhaps feel that our prayers haven't been heard. You know those of us who feel like we don't matter, we're not special. Those of us who have been asked to do things and we are fearful. We don't quite know how we're going to do it. And we're fearful of talking about our faith. I want to pray this morning, Lord God, that each and every one of us would yield to you, would bow before you, and would allow you to guide us and to lead us to a place where we can worship you. But minister to us, we pray. And if we need to hear those words, Lord, send your spirit to us to say the words of the angels, do not be afraid. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Please, would you give us more of your spirit? Fill us more with your spirit, that your love for us would be known and experienced. And in our lives, fear would be driven from us. Thank you that you let in light and you banished the darkness. Thank you, we can celebrate Christmas without fear. We worship you and we praise you. And we offer you ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen.